All right. Yes.
We're too blessed to be depressed. That's right.
All right. Brother Ray, I was going to ask you, how many of you knew what that song was? How many of you knew that song? It's just like Jesus to, you know, roll the clouds away. I couldn't think of the word clouds. Yeah, to keep me day by day. It's just like the Lord to do that. He watches out over us, and He takes care of us. Praise the Lord. Great, great job, Vicky. Thank you, Brother Ray, for leading the singing. All right. Great to have you all here. And are you glad to be here?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be in church, isn't it? It really is. It's a blessing. Tomorrow, I'll be 47 years in the Lord. So I just thought of that. Today's the 7th, so tomorrow's the 8th. And I will say this, that for all those years, it has been a blessing to be in churches, and I've been in a number of churches. Of course, we moved, and you know, we were at Treasure Valley Baptist Church. We've been in just the two churches in Idaho in the last 33 years, 23 there in Treasure Valley Baptist Church, and then the 10 here. So 33, I'm 66. It was at the end of November that I counted the days because I looked and thought, when did we move? We moved at the end of August in 90, and I tried to figure out how many days that was, and then I realized that when I got to November, a couple months ago, that I'd been in Idaho now longer than I'd been in California. So, amen. And you would say amen to that, right? I'm officially an Idahoan for sure. I mean, I just love being in the state. I love it. I'm so thankful that the Lord brought us here 33 plus years ago. It's going to be 34 when we get to August, so 33 and a half years. What a great blessing. And really, all these years of being saved now, almost 47 tomorrow, just it's been exciting. It really has. I know I'm not all that I should be. I'm far from that. And I have regrets. Don't we all have regrets about we haven't given the Lord more. We haven't trusted Him like we should have. We haven't given as much as we should. Whatever. We have a lot of regrets. And I certainly have mine. But one thing is, I know the Lord's never let me down. He's just never let me down. He has been so faithful, and all through these years, it has just been an exciting journey, and I don't know how much longer before the Lord comes and gets us all, or if He takes me up to heaven. I don't know, but we'll see how that all plays out, but I'm just grateful. It's just grateful to be in church and to be around the brethren. All right, I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I taught Sunday school class. I talked the subject of being renewed day by day out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. I've had people ask me, do you have an assistant pastor? I say, yes, I do. My wife. She just doesn't preach, okay? So my wife is such a huge help for me, and then my daughter, Hannah, and then you know, having Ezra here, you know, what he does. I mean, I'm so blessed. And then I have so many of you that just jump in and are blessings, and you fill the pulpit, and so many of you that help in so many ways. So I have a whole bunch of assistants, but my main assistant, my wife, you know, just with being sick here lately and with a whole lot on our plates, you go back even a few more weeks than that, further back, and my daughter and the twins, they were sick, and so we have, you know, I don't want to stop this theme, you know, because pray without ceasing, we never want that to stop, as I mentioned in Sunday school, but the theme for this year is going to be finish strong. Finish strong. And that's one thing that I want for every one of you, and I want for myself. What does that mean? Well, we want to finish strong. We want to finish our life, you know. Paul talked about, and the verse will be there, 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And we want to do that. I want that for you. Don't you want that for me? Certainly, we want that. We want to be faithful to stay in the race. And this passage here, I'm going to read the first five verses, and then verse 6 is the one that I'll focus on, but we're going to take a look at, if we're going to stay strong in this race, then what I taught in Sunday school is important. That's learning how to be renewed day by day and to get the Lord's strength from day to day. But also, there's such a wonderful promise here that, you know, you think sometimes, oh, Lord, why do I preach this? Everybody knows this. No, but sometimes we kind of know it, but then we really don't know it. Right? One person got that, Brother Sherman. But you know what I'm saying? I think sometimes we know things in theory,
Oh, yeah, I've read that. But we don't really know it by experience. We don't know things because we haven't really proved them. We haven't really trusted the Lord. We haven't really taken this great doctrine or this great teaching and really let it hit home. And that's really what we have here. And that in verse 6 is, the Lord is my helper. I'm going to talk about the Lord as my helper today and preach about that. Because he's, if we know him as our Savior, he's right there to help us, folks. He's there to help us along the way. And folks, we need help. Not that we can do anything. Without me, you know, Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. But the Lord uses us in whatever small ways that we are able to be used. The Lord wants to use you and I, and he'll help us. So we'll take a look here in Hebrews chapter 13. And let's read verses 1 through 5. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Listen to this wild verse right here. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You know, you never know that person, that homeless person that you just helped, or that person that you just, I don't know, we've never seen that person. It could be an angel. You never know. And then it says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then finally, before I read that verse, you just see what the Apostle Paul is speaking of. He's wrapping up this whole epistle to these Hebrew believers. If it was Paul, I think it was Paul, but whoever it was, it doesn't say. But he's beginning to wrap up this great epistle to the Hebrews with some exhortations to the believers, just kind of a summary here. You know, let brotherly love continue, as he says in verse 1, and remember those that are in bondage in verse 3. And then in verse 4, he's talking about keeping marriage pure. Keep it pure. And then forsaking covetousness and being content in verse 5. And then finally, he hits here on verse 6 when he says this, so that we may boldly say, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. All right, so let me read that first part again, and let's see what our response is when you really think about it. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen? It shouldn't have been quiet. It should have been like a rousing, amen, right? Amen, Pastor Garcia, yes, that he would even want to be our helper. Now, he wants to be our God. He wants to be our great Savior. He sent his Son to die on a cross for us so that we could have everlasting life. But he also says, I want to be your helper. And you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. With that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and thank you. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather together. We have church freely. We have wonderful liberties that you've given to us. And Lord, if we're not careful, these liberties could be taken away. Help us to be grateful. Help us to thank you on a regular basis for all that we've been given. Lord, your word says daily you loadeth us with benefits. And we thank you, Lord, over and over for the things you do in our lives. And we're grateful for all of that. Thank you, Lord, again, that we can gather together, that we can sing praises unto you as we sang these hymns. We thank you, Lord, that we could read Scripture together. We thank you, Lord, that we could have fellowship with one another. Thank you that we can pray as we did earlier. We pray for those that are missing and that are sick. And we pray, Lord, that you'll lift them up. Of course, I think of my wife and many others, Lord. We pray for those that are traveling and that are away. We ask, Lord, that you'd watch out over them as well. And so we do miss those that are not able to be here. But we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have. It is a great thing. And I thank you, Lord, for all these years that you saved me. And tomorrow is going to be a special day for me. So I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that we can talk to you. We come to you in the name of Christ. It's only through him and through that precious blood that we can have this fellowship with you. And we thank you, Lord, that you tell us that we can boldly say that the Lord is my helper. And so we pray that you'll bless this time. I pray, Father, that you would set me to the side. I don't want to get in your way. I don't want to hinder you. I know many times, too often, I have. But I pray that you'll bless and speak to hearts. Lord, help our hearts to be open. Help us to have ears to hear. We want Christ to be glorified in everything that's said and done. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God could do His work in our midst. And we pray for anybody here without Christ, that you'd work in their hearts and show them how they can be saved. So we praise and thank you. Thank you for this time together. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want us to look at these five words. The Lord is my helper there in verse 6. And let's certainly remember that as we hold to this truth, God wants us to hold to it boldly. He says it so clearly that we may say boldly. He wants us to be confident in this. Not to be, well, I think the Lord is my helper. I'm pretty sure He's my... No, we can say it with all boldness. The Lord is my helper. He helps me. He gives me strength every day. For these five words, once they're ingrained, folks, in our minds and in our hearts, if we get them ingrained and allow the Lord to do that, folks, it'll bear you up in the toughest of times. It'll strengthen you. It'll give you resolve that you and I need to have. So I want to take this small little phrase, and then I want to break it up into smaller pieces. And I believe we'll see its significance even more greatly when we do that. So first of all, I want us to start with just those first two words, the Lord. All right, the Lord. The Lord, God Himself, not some low-ranking angel. We have God who wants to help us, not some scrub, you know, some rookie angel. You know, we're not getting, if you've watched That Wonderful Life, and, you know, supposedly out of heaven came that angel Clarence. Wasn't his name Clarence? And he was there to help George. What was George's last name? George Bailey. You've watched it many, many times, haven't you? I was thinking back there, thinking, George, I know it will come. And I even watched a little part of it just a few weeks ago. They showed it all day long on a particular channel. I don't know. How many of you watched that, right? I like that movie. That's a good movie, you know. But listen, the Lord didn't send us a Clarence. The Lord didn't send us a Clarence. It is Him. He says, I will help you. I'm not going to send along some scrub angel. I don't think any of those. I wouldn't call, you know, when I get to heaven, maybe some of those angels and will look at me and say, who are you calling scrubs? Like, I just spoke, you know, without thinking. Forgive me. I don't think any of those angels are scrubs, but they're not the Lord. It is the great one. It is the great one who created the heavens, folks. Psalm 33:6, we read a little bit later in that chapter for our Bible reading. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He created all things just by the breath of His mouth. And I love in Genesis where it says He made all those things, then it says, and He made the stars also. Kind of like a postscript. Oh yeah, He made the stars also. You've studied about the stars, right? And how these vast distances, and boy, you could just go into that, but He made the stars also. That's just nothing. That's the God that we serve and that we know, the one that walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, the one that revealed Himself to Abraham. I talked about that just the other night on Wednesday night. The great Jehovah God that led His people through the wilderness. That judged the nations for Israel's sake. That sent His Son to die for us on a cross. That involved Himself in our lives so that we might see ourselves in our horrible condition and subsequently come to know Christ. God involved Himself in our life. He's the one that abides in our hearts in the person of the Holy Spirit. Folks, that amazes me. 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and I think it's in verse 16, it says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. He's the only wise God. That only wise God above anybody else is the one that lives in your heart if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a great, great thing that is. The Lord, it just aggravates me to no end when you call some company for help and you try to talk to somebody in customer service and they send you halfway around the world to India or Siberia and you can't understand them, and obviously their goal is to totally frustrate you. Hello, my name is Haji and I'm here to totally frustrate you. Now, I'm not making mocking, but that's what they don't do, all right? And they succeed in just not helping you and frustrating you. Well, God's here to help us. God's here to help us. How good is it to say with the Apostle Paul, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. It's a great thing. Joshua chapter 5, it's a good chapter. Let's turn there real quick. In Joshua chapter 5, this was just before Joshua and the Israelites were going to go ahead and destroy Jericho. In Joshua chapter 5, Joshua, he is confronted with somebody that, is this somebody that's an enemy? Or is this somebody that's for us? And it says here in Joshua chapter 5, and verses 13 through 15, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And this must have been a scary sight because Joshua is a warrior. And Joshua would not have looked intimidated, but I'm sure inside of him he went, this is no ordinary person I'm looking at. And it says, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. That was not your average angel again. That was the Lord. That was the Lord who stood there with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said, are you for us or for our adversaries? I'm sure he tried not to tremble when he asked that question. And he says, I'm one that heads up the captain of the host. He says, of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face because he knew who he was in the presence of. In Joshua 6:27, it says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. The Lord said, Joshua, I will be with you. I will help you. And that same God who made that promise to Joshua makes that promise to us. He's with us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I'll take the spotlight off of those two words, the Lord, and shift it to a little word here. The little word that follows, and that little word is the second point. It's the word is. The Lord is. It is not might be. It is not could be. It is not on a good day. It is not if I've had my Wheaties. Nor does it say was. Nor does it say will be. But it says very clearly is. Amen. How blessed is that tiny little word is. The Lord is. Folks, the choice of a right word is important. Folks, we men should know that. When our wives model a new dress and ask, how do I look? You'd better not respond with, you look okay. You may end up with a frying pan on the back of your head, folks, brothers. You'd better say something like, you're just drop dead gorgeous. Let me tell you, now I might be pushing it, okay, but I mean, something along those lines. Some of you men need to take notes. You're looking at me like a tree full of owls. I'm here to help you. Listen, a right word. We always live in the present, don't we? We live in the present. That's how we live. And that word is speaks to the present. It speaks to now. Listen, a ticket to last Friday's championship game won't get me into the game this Friday. It's the same with the Lord. Don't live in the past. And don't relegate. Don't push the Lord into the past to what he's done for others or what he did for you in times past. Yes, we want to know those things. And you don't want to forget those things. But you don't want to just live in the past. Realize that he is the God of is. He's the God of is, which means he is here for the present. He is the God of now. And I think that that's a great, great thing. Nehemiah is a great example of that. Nehemiah is standing before King Ahasuerus. And Nehemiah looks at King Ahasuerus. He's the king's cupbearer. And he was sad in his countenance. He didn't realize that, but the king saw it. And you wouldn't want to be sad in the king's presence. And so his countenance was sad, and the king looked at him and said, Nehemiah, why art thou sad? And I think Nehemiah went, oh, I dropped the ball here. Because those kings were so arrogant and full of their egos that nobody should be sad in their presence. That's how they went forth. That's how they rolled. And so he says to him, why is thy countenance so sad? And he says, for what dost thou make request? As the conversation went on, what do you want to make request for? And so it says that Nehemiah says, so I prayed unto the God of heaven. He didn't just go, he didn't say, oh, well, time out here, king, give me just a few minutes to go and pray. You know, he prayed right then. He prayed in the 2 seconds that he could pray. He was already a praying man. And he says, what dost thou make request for? And so it says Nehemiah prayed. You know what he did? He just said, Lord, help me. Help me. I'm sure there was a 1 or 2 second pause, and maybe the king's like, what are you doing? And Nehemiah was praying because he knew that God would help him. He knew God would help him. He knew that God had brought him to that time, to that time when he would stand there and look at the king and be asked that question. Listen, I've spoken to many people, and people recently, people in the past, they know the Lord, but they've been going through times. They've gone through times when they were just overwhelmed and overwrought, and sometimes I just act like a trainer in a boxing match, and I just look at them and just say, just trust the Lord, and understand this, that the Lord's your helper, and he'll help you through whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're going through. The Lord will give you strength, and he'll encourage you. And I would say that to anybody here today. You may be going through a rough spot, a rough patch. You just say, the Lord is your helper, and he's right here for you now. If you know Christ as your Savior, if you're without the Lord, then my advice to you, my counsel to you is to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Invite Christ into your heart and trust him as your personal Savior. And then you're one with the Lord. You're forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. And then the Lord will begin to help you and show you. But if you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're going through some rough times, then I just say this to you, just as I would say it to myself. Just listen, the Lord is your helper. He will help you through this. Just wait on him. He's good. He might let you be going through this to bring about some particular things that he's trying to accomplish in your life. Maybe he's trying to build your faith. Maybe he's just trying to get you to get into that word more. Maybe he's trying to get you to think a little bit more on spiritual terms instead of just physical terms all the time. God has his ways, and he doesn't have to explain any of that to us. And sometimes over time, he is gracious and reveals those things. Lord, I understand why you let that happen. But for the moment, we may know nothing. But it's just good for us just to trust. Because again, as it says earlier in that passage in Hebrews right there in 13, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Boy, let that get burned deep into your heart. Let it just be impressed in your heart. And that is, now I bring you to this last part of that phrase that I want to highlight in these last two words. The Lord is my helper. He is my helper. How personal is that? My helper. Not just a help, but my helper. You know, it's nice to be able to have your own personal things, isn't it? Yeah. It's nice to have something that you can say, that is mine. You know, I have a bowling ball that says Reuben on it. I haven't used it in a while, but that's my bowling ball. 30-some years old, I don't know. I'll get out once in a while and bowl with that ball. I just think of that. My name's on that bowling ball. Maybe you have some things with your names on it. And that's nice to be able to say, I own that. I own my home. I have the title to my home, the deed. It's mine. It's nice that my name is on that. Listen, it is nice to know that the Lord is my helper, and He is your helper. How sad would it be if we failed to let someone help us when we were helpless? You ever done that? Yeah. Have you ever had somebody maybe offer to help you with something? Maybe you have guests over the house, and, you know, these are some friends, and your buddy, or, you know, he's a plumber, and, you know, you mentioned something about, yeah, the sink's not working real well, it's got a leak or something, and he says, oh, well, you know, I'm a plumber, you know that, I'll fix it. I got that. I can take care of that, no problem. You don't need to help me. And then you finish up your visit, and they go home, and your wife looks at you like, what are you thinking? You can't fix that. Anything that you try to fix, it ends up worse. Why didn't you let them help? I know, I should have. And then you try to fix it, and then you make a worse job of it. You ever done that? Some of you are like, I saw a couple wives just do that right now. Listen, it's so often it's just our own pride that keeps us from getting the help we need. It'd just be our own pride, and we do that with the Lord quite often. If we insist that we can handle our own problems, then quite often, in God and His mercy, God will even back off and leave us alone. You want to do it on your own? Well, go ahead. I'm here to help you. But if you think you can do it on your own, listen, then you go ahead. Have at it. How many times have we done that one? We tried to fix things because we figured, oh, I've been around this block 100 times. I've been in this same situation. And I know how I counseled before. And then you just, you know, there's just something in your heart that I know I need to look to the Lord and ask Him for it. But I know this. I've figured this out. And then you go and you just make a mess of it. Oh, that's not how it turned out before. Maybe we should have looked unto the Lord. Maybe we should have called on Him. Psalm 46 and verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble for you and I. Psalm 50 and verse 15 says, Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I think sometimes we think trouble is just way high end. You know, when we're hanging off of a cliff or we're being held up at a bank. You know, something way out there. That's when we're in trouble. I don't know about you, but my days are always full of trouble. They just are. They're just always full of challenges. Now, I'm not a pessimist. I think if you know me, I'm really an optimist. But there's just trouble lingering all the time because there are challenges. And when you determine you want to live for the Lord, you know, I don't know, the devil just seems like to try to work something out and try to trouble your days. And so my days seem to be full of trouble. And trouble doesn't have to be supersized in order for it to be trouble. Okay? There are three mean dogs out there, the three mean dogs that come at me all day long, and that's the world, the flesh, and the devil. It reminds me of some of the yards I used to walk into. I used to work for Intermountain Gas Company, and as a meter reader, I was in there, you know, for a number of years and then moved into another position later, but we had to actually walk into the yards. Now they've fitted them with these, you know, little things. You just push a button from the truck, and it picks up the reeds, and it's like, why didn't that happen 10 years before? So there's times when I'm just kind of, you know, you go and you're reading hundreds of meters, and you just go in a long walk through a neighborhood, and you just go, and a lot of them are on the side of the house, and you get the read, and you punch it in, and a lot of them in the backyard, and you go through the backyard, and your mind's just on this, that, or whatever, you know, like we all do. And all of a sudden, you walk in, and boom, there's a big dog. Whoa, he hasn't been here before. And this dog he means business. It's just like he got praying, like he'd just been praying for Mexican food, and here it is walking into the yard. This is an answer to my prayers. This is like a supersized chimichanga with legs walking in here. And then in a moment, I'm in mortal combat with this dog.
and you know, it's me or him, and you know, and I'm calling out to the Lord for help. And the Lord is good. He never fails me. No matter what it is, whatever troubles or things that you face, folks, in this life, whatever it is that challenges you, the Lord says, He is my helper. He says, I'm your helper. Look unto me. I will give you deliverance. I will help you through this. Folks, we have a wonderful life as a Christian. We really do. So many blessings. And then above all of that, He tells us He's there for us. He's not only saved us, and now He indwells us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He hears our prayers. He gives us this wonderful, perfect book. And He's there to help us, to grow us, to develop us and mature us. Do you see that today? Has the devil been on you? Has the devil been like the, you know, an attack dog on you? Have you lost sight of this great promise, folks, that I may boldly say the Lord is my helper? Have you lost sight of that? And maybe you're just in a downtime and you just wonder if the Lord even sees you. Listen, none of us are going to condemn you for that, because I've been there. And it's not as if I'm not going to be there again, because even David said, who was the man after God's own heart, "Hast thou forgotten me, O Lord," in Psalm 13? Even David, a man after God's own heart, could feel that way. And sometimes our emotions can deceive us, can't they? And we think, I don't really sense that the Lord's around here. And Lord, I just feel like you've abandoned me. Well, none of us here are going to condemn you for that, because if we're pointing at you, I've got four fingers that are pointing back at me. Well, at least three. Yeah, even the thumb is pointing in a funny, weird way. It's pointing back at me like, hey, buddy, four times over. And we've all done that. And so, listen, maybe you're going through that right now and you just feel like, I don't know where my life is going. I don't know if God's even involved. If you've trusted Him as your Savior, He's involved. And He loves you. And maybe you've walked away. And maybe you're just not having the fellowship with Him that you ought to. But you can get it right back where it ought to be just by getting your heart right with Him. And just confessing any sin, whatever that might keep you out of fellowship with the Lord. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, then you can be saved today. You can trust Christ as your Savior. You say, I believe in God. I've been baptized. None of that's going to get you to heaven. The Bible says even the devils believe and tremble. It's one thing about believing here. It's another thing about believing from your heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll call on Christ and recognize you're a sinner, that He died for your sins. He lived a perfect life, was buried, and rose again. He says He'll save you. And so I would make that challenge today, that if you've never trusted Christ, we want to see you get saved. That would just be such great rejoicing amongst us, but up in heaven too. They'll be rejoicing that you came to trust Christ. But Christian, where are you? Has God spoken to your heart about the fact that He's your helper? And we can boldly say that. Do you boldly say it? Do I boldly say it? Listen, I know He's my helper, but I don't bat 1,000. There's times when I struggle and I wonder and I have my doubts and I have to just go, forgive me, Lord. I should never have a doubt after all these years. He's so good. He's so kind. And He's so faithful. Amen? So with that, I want us to bow our heads. We'll go at this point to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. But with your heads bowed and your hearts just in a spirit and an attitude of prayer right now, just talking to the Lord. For those of you that know Him, that's a wonderful thing. I'm so glad for that. You're my brother. You're my sister in Christ. And maybe you're going through a rough time. Maybe there's a time when you just wonder about what's happening right now. Why am I going through this? And I don't know what to make out of it. Well, maybe it's just kind of diminished your faith, but God has reasons for these things. I would just encourage you to understand this and know it and say it confidently and boldly that the Lord is my helper. He'll help me. And maybe that's what you just need to talk to the Lord about today. Lord, Your word says You're my helper, and I can boldly say it. I know You're watching out over me. I don't always sense it, but I know Your word is true. So maybe that's what God's speaking to you about today. Maybe it's something that you need to come to the altar and talk to the Lord about. Whatever it might be, I just say, just do business with God. If God is nudging you on the shoulder,
if he's tapping you on your shoulder, then just respond to him. If you're here without Jesus Christ, I hope you'll respond today. Just step out in the aisle. Come up front. We'll show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Nothing better than that. There's just nothing better than that. 47 years tomorrow for me, and it's just been the best ride of my life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We're grateful to you, Lord. You're a good God. You're gracious. You're so long-suffering. You give us less than our iniquities deserve, your word says. What a great kindness. You give us so many promises for us to stand upon. And one of them is you say that we can boldly say that you're our helper. The Lord is my helper. Lord, help us, Lord. We need you every day. We need to be calling out every day, many times a day. Help me, Lord. Help me. I'll make a mess out of this. But not with you. If you'll take charge and you'll guide, Lord, there'll be more and more victories. Help us that way. Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, we want to see them get saved. Lord, we don't want to be a high-pressure salesman. We don't want to do that way. We just want you to work in a heart through the Spirit of God, show somebody that is maybe here today without Christ, that they get saved and bow their head and receive you into their life. So I pray, Father, that you'll bring forth some great victories today. We thank you again for who you are. You're a great, great God. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.